Not even going to get a shot off. Hunt. And Xavier Brown down with it. And on the 42-year anniversary to the day of St. Joseph's upsetting DePaul in the NCAA tournament, Billy Lang and the Hawks have pulled another shocker.
Oh, you heard it here first, folks. The St. Joseph's Hawks have upset the number one Richmond Spiders in what was a thrilling mid-season game. Of course, I'm your host, Tony, and I'm joined by no one today. That's right. It's a monologue episode, but Pete, who's in Hawaii, joined. We did a Spaces earlier with Matt Gifford. There was a ton of people out for that. I'm sure some of the people who were listening to that are listening to this episode, and maybe some of you who are listening to this episode didn't get to join the Spaces, so we just wanted to put out a bunch of content as much as possible, because this is the best time of the year. This is the best time to watch the St. Joe's Hawks, talk about the St. Joe's Hawks, and you know, it's so funny. It feels like last year we were talking about a really close win against a really good Dayton team, and this year we're talking about an actual win against a really good Richmond team. So we're building up, we are getting better, and we are improving on some of the wins that we had built on from last year, we're finding more and more success as each year goes by. And hard to believe that we're in this situation right now based on everything that's gone on with this team. There's been ups, there's been downs, we've gone sideways, but we've seen the potential of this team, and that's been a theme of this entire show, has been, you know, it's put up or shut up, and they put up. And me and Pete and Riley Frayne, who's also on the show, you know, we all said that, you know, win these two games, it's a success. I gotta say, it's a success, folks. It's a successful season. We've got a lot more to play. It is not over, but boy, was it exciting. And for those who didn't know, St. Joseph's beat University of Richmond, 66-61. Richmond was the number one overall seed, and quite frankly, it was the Eric Reynolds show. Eric Reynolds with well over 30 points. I'm actually pulling up the amount. No, it was actually 30 points exactly. We had Cam Brown with 10. Lynn Greer with 5, X Brown with 7, and Fleming with 6. Fleming with some amazing defensive rebounds, 12 of them. He had 3 offensive rebounds, and overall, if you look at the stat sheet, the St. Joseph's Hawks really did dominate the offensive and defensive rebounding, which was absolutely critical. There was a couple plays at the end, towards the end of the game, just kind of like against George Mason, where, you know, Fleming's grabbing the most important rebound of the game. And he's positioning himself perfectly, and he's making the right decision, and he's diving for the ball, and he's fighting for the ball. Just like when our guards are fighting in the lane, trying to grab passes, generate turnovers, trapping guys. You can see the actual effort from all of the players, and that is something that, you know, is missing when they would lose those big second half games where, you know, they would come out in the second half and the other team scores 8 points right away, and the guys are looking around at each other. What do we do? And no one takes lead, and no one brings the energy, because that's what's required in order to fight off the competition, right? In basketball, how many times do we watch these games? And a lot of it is runs that are generated by teams thinking we're hot now. It's right. As much as we're going to say there's the hot hand fallacy, it does exist in the sense that that ability to understand, yeah, we're playing better than them. We can win this. The belief is the word I want to look for. I was looking for a word that started with a B. Belief that they can win. They tell themselves they can win. Those are the teams that win because they act upon it and they execute upon it. And that's what St. Joe's did today. After falling 2-10 in the first half, oh my gosh, in the first 10 minutes or first, I think it was 8 minutes or something like that. That's really worrisome. That's really concerning in the fact that you're against the one seed. It can easily turn around like that. It can easily go away. And all of a sudden now you're down 20 points on a neutral field. You know, you've got, it's not just the St. Joe's fans in there. It's not hostile, but, you know, there's almost every fan base is in the crowd at that point, right? They do shuffle in and out, but tournament play is just really different. And the lights are really bright. I mean, all of us, all of our fans, me and Pete on this show, Matt Gifford with his writings and coverage of the team, Riley Frayne, someone I mentioned, you know, all of everyone who's ever talked about this team, you know, Matt Martucci and John Giannini were on the call, you know, they're going to bring this stuff up. It's, you know, these are the lights are brightest and people are asking, what is this team? And we got to see it. you know, and I wrote this at the end of my article that I published on A10 Talk, and it was, the question was, you know, we have seen what this team is capable of, and we know that we can possibly get that team on the court. The question is, do they want to do it? Do they want to be that team? We know they can be that team, but does Eric Reynolds, Cam Brown, Lynn Greer, X Brown, Kreese Tesendoko, you know, Rashear Fleming, Kasper Klocek, do those guys want to be that team? And we got a resounding yes. We got an absolute resounding yes. And give credit to Coach Lang. You know, it's so funny. These are two coaches that, with Mooney and with Lang, where, you know, they both have had their ups and downs, right? Mooney, but well before, you know, Richmond went on that great run a couple of years ago. Before that, there were serious questions. There were billboards. People put billboards up in Richmond, fire Mooney. You know, these two coaches are really not that different. And yet, they both have had their somewhat signature wins. I mean, Billy Lang's got a while to go before he's up to that level where he's won the job back like Mooney did, to kind of quiet those who really do oppose him being in position. But today is an absolute step in the right direction, and it kind of brings me to a question that we were talking about on the spaces, and it's something I just actually wrote about today from an opinion standpoint. You know, Matt Gifford tweets out about this win. Is this the best win in Coach Billy Lang's career? And I think it's close. I think it's number two. I think the Villanova game is number one. Why? We have a rich history with Villanova, right? It goes back very long. And in fact, the drought of beating Villanova went longer than our A-10 championship drought, right? So we've actually had one more A-10 championships in between the time that we had last beat Villanova. So I gotta say, personally, that beating Villanova in their arena, which was, you know, as an away game, early in the season when we didn't know what this team was, I think that was not a much more impressive win, but for me, that's what makes it a more impressive win. And on top of that, it became what we now view as the standard of this team. That Villanova win is exactly what we look at and go, that's the team we think we can be. So it set the standard, and so that's why it gets to be number one until there's like an A-10 championship, or we know Richmond's the number one seed, but really Dayton's the best team in the conference until they lost to Duquesne tonight, which, spoiler alert, I mean, by the time you're listening to this episode, it's probably the next day. Dayton going down. I mean, we're going to have a first A-10, not to get sidetracked, but we're going to have a first A-10. I don't know if it's the first, but it's probably the first time in a while, if anything, where none of the top four seeds are going to be in the championship game. I mean, this is crazy. This is crazy. The door is wide open for us, and I guess it brings us back to the point of the door is wide open for Billy Lang to make this the signature win, because if they beat VCU, who they got to play on Saturday, oh, well, now we're really talking. And if they won the whole championship, that is by far, there is no question about it, the best win, two wins. It would be the best two wins in Billy Lang's career, and it would be all four of his best wins would be this season, and it's wishful thinking. I'm not saying it's going to happen. But I think I'm still carrying that optimism. It's the same optimism I've been writing about, and I think everyone who listens to this podcast, the fans who dedicated themselves to the show and to this team, they know what this team's capable of. And I think confidently, if people had asked you, came up to you, the fan who's listening right now, I think if they said, yeah, do you think this team can make a run? I think everyone would say yes. And I think everyone would agree. It just depends on what team we get. But we knew the talent of this team. They've got an absolute killer in Eric Reynolds. And they've got just talented athletes all over the roster. It was just always a question of not only mental fortitude, but mental decision-making, everything. And another thing I want to mention about all of this, because there's like different aspects to both these wins against Mason and Richmond that we didn't really get to mentioned totally because we did a preview show, so I kind of will talk about both of them as well while I have you here. The first is they closed games really well in both of these wins. Against George Mason, the team closed, you know, they gave up the lead, and to get the lead, they had great passing. They had great in-and-out passing, great cutting to the rim, kicking the ball out and shooting very efficient threes in good positions. Of course, George Mason comes back, and now everyone's thinking, uh-oh, it could all be thrown away. But no, this team, the St. Joe's team, buckles down. And what was a even tighter finish against George Mason, finds a way to win the game with very few seconds left, hits the field. Rashear Fleming, a 62% free throw shooter, hits 3 of 4 to seal the win and win the game. Now we go to today, and it's the same thing. You know, we're down early, and they come back, and they find the way to win no matter how hard it is. And it was, I'm trying to see here, like the final, I'm pulling it up right now, actually, the final sequence of shots that St. Joe's had made. But we had Lynn Greer with some clutch free throws. Oh, today, sorry, Rashear Fleming, that was today, was the 3 of 4 free throws. My apologies. It was not yesterday's game, so I want to correct myself there. But regardless, the George Mason game did come down to some close free throws, etc. So they did need that in that game as well. It just, I got the confusion because it was Rashear. Rashear had the great rebound, just like he had today. He had some good rebounds. He also had a very critical rebound at the end of the last game against George Mason. So again, we're kind of mentioning the same themes where we're going for offensive rebounds. We're getting the free throws or getting to the line, and we're making the free throws, which I think everyone knows that's the most important thing when it comes to basketball in March. So I'm actually pulling up the George Mason one because now it's going to bother me if I don't pull it up. So I'm going to go to play-by-play, and I'm going to see here second half. And it was Eric Reynolds free throws. And Rashear Fleming did make some free throws at the end of that game. 10 seconds left, he made 2 free throws. So Rashear, again, yesterday and today, I stand corrected. Yesterday and today both had some critical free throws, which was important. And so, yeah, I mean, like, look, that's the summary of all of everything, right? It's, you know, yesterday and today was about, as I said, closing the game was super important. Playing great defense, offensive rebound. I'm not going to kill you with repeating myself, but, you know, if I was looking at it all, like, we got to continue it. And we're playing a VCU team now where they're going to be tough. They're going to be tough. But we know, one, you know, it's just like the Richmond game. We have seen them once. They've seen us once. They beat us. You know, it's hard to beat a team twice. It's even harder to beat them 3 times, as we saw with Dayton. But I'm saying there's an advantage to us losing to them in the way that we did last time. If those who forget, we had literally traded back and forth with VCU. We went on the road to VCU, back and forth, trading, and they ended up beating us by 5 points. But, you know, it was just they shot the ball better than us, and that was, you know, of course, there's little things, but that was majority of the issue, right? They just, these guys could not miss. And so I think, you know, that I think there's a fighter's chance, and it bodes well for us. Much better than what people may be willing to admit. So I'm excited. I'm excited. That's enough ranting for me. That's enough monologue. I think I've said it enough, but we've seen this team play its best. And guess what? We have a real chance to put some more signature wins on the record for Billy Lang. And man, am I hoping for it. It's just, it's funny. Me and Pete always make fun of, you know, we'll always throw a Catholic joke in there, right? We're Catholic school. I got to say this. St. Joseph, March in the church is the month of St. Joseph. I think there's not a coincidence for that. March, the most important basketball month, is the month of St. Joseph himself. I think that's a good sign for us. That's a providential sign for our Hawks. And so I'm very excited about that. And I'm going to be rooting for them. I know everyone else will be. And man, I'm just praying for a win. So let's go to, we had put out questions, comments. We're going to read a couple of those and then we'll wrap up the show because as we said, we promised we're going to give them all out. We'll go to Nickelbag first, legendary caller to the show, loyal listener, going to give him a shout out. He says, I think I only have comments. I was sitting in the second row with my nephew and my dad. That was probably the greatest one-man show by Eric Reynolds that I've ever seen at a live sporting event. Performance of his life. P.S. Fleming's defense was incredible. It quietly kept them in the game. I don't even know if it's quietly. I think we know it kept them in the game. But yeah, absolutely true. And the other thing I really want to call out, which is important, is Eric Reynolds, man, we got reminded today why we think he's NBA talent. That's no question about it. And I'm so glad that that was the win that we got. It was in the game that mattered. He wasn't going to go out on a quiet note, and he didn't go out on a quiet note. And that's something that we got to be grateful for because, you know, there was that slump. There was absolutely that slump. We weren't seeing really the taste of Eric that we know that we can get. And boy, we didn't get a taste of it. We got a whole spoonful. We're full.
And we got the whole picture, and it was great. I'm going to go to George Templeton, VCU fan, at VCU's Rams Rewind, but fan of the show, very good guy. And if those who didn't know, actually came on our Villanova Spaces way, way back. He's a VCU fan, following every St. Joe's game, came, talked about the Hawks. He's been a big believer in the Hawks. I think he knew this was potentially coming. So, you know, if you're going to have any opponent, at least it's one we can respect. I've said this before in my writings and podcasts. VCU is a team that I've always respected. You know, Dayton fans do a lot of talking, but VCU actually does the walking. So there's one thing I'm not going to say is that they're a bad program. They're not. They're the most consistent program in the entire conference. But George goes, I thought Chris Asundoka was a problem for VCU in the first matchup. Does Billy Lane go to him at the start of Saturday? What would you start? Would you start him? You know, there was that question. You know, Billy and Chris had some problems in the beginning of the game. He ended up coming back in. You know, I think you do roll him out there just to see, knowing that. And I think Billy has done a really good job about this throughout the entire game yesterday and today, is if it's not working, you go back to the guys you know where it's going to work. Okay, Kreist could be a problem for VCU, but if he ends up being a liability for St. Joe's, well, I'm bringing back Fleming. I'm going back to that lineup that worked today and the day before, and I'm hoping that works instead. So, you know, Kreist, it's not like he's permanently on the bench. He has the chance to play, but he just has to make the right decisions because he is prone to making mistakes. He is a freshman. And, you know, not all freshmen are the same, as we see with Xavier Brown, and, you know, that's something to consider. So I think, yeah, you roll him out there, but man, Billy's going to be quick on the trigger if it's not working out. And he, as rightly so, he should be. And then we're going to roll to Hawk Enthusiast. Absolutely great to hear from him. And he goes, comment, this is the team we were looking for in conference play. It feels like November and December again. Can be anyone when the fellas are hot. I cannot take Billy out, but he X'd it out. So Hawk Enthusiast has Billy out in his bio, but he says he's not going to take Billy out of the bio. Doesn't want to jinx anything at this point. He thinks it's good luck. So yeah, what a great, great comment. You know, he's going to stay true. You know what? They got to respect Hawk Enthusiast. He's going to stay true to exactly what he's all about. And he's bad about Billy out, but you know what? Maybe it's work. Maybe that's the secret sauce to the Hawks playing well, is having a little bit of those doubters. You got to play your role in life. You know, we all have a role to play in the story, and Hawk Enthusiast is playing his role to its fullest extent. So I think we're going to wrap it up there. We're going to do a nice 20-minute podcast. It was nothing that I was going to dedicate a million minutes to, especially now that it's just one big monologue by myself. Not easy to do. I could do it for 40 minutes, but I think by then everyone here would be turning off their phones. So I want to say thank you to all those who had listened to the show, to everyone who's been listening to us all season long, who's been interacting with us. You know, I know you can't listen to every episode, but the interaction's been great. We really do appreciate it. And it's all of that building up from the fall that makes this time of year so special. It's that time when, you know, you guys have been dedicating yourselves to the team. We all have been, everyone together has been building a culture of supporting this team. And I know there's been some down times, and we can get a little frustrated. And, you know, we're all from Philadelphia, or majority of the fans, I like to think. We wear the emotions on the sleeve. We go after each other a little bit. But it's like family. You argue with your brother, but when we're in the fight, we're in the trenches together, when we're going up against these other teams, and when we know that those guys are going in as hard as they can to play and to win, man, we're all on the same page. And it makes all that little bit of infighting, but all that dedication to building the culture and the fan support that much better. Because when we all jump on in the spaces, when we're all sending the emails into the podcast, when we can all hear each other and in the praise of this team and the excitement for what it feels like to be a fan, especially for those who aren't able to go to the games like myself, right? This is the part where we can connect with fans of the St. Joe's basketball community. You know, it makes it that much sweeter for everyone. So I hope all of you who are listening are enjoying the time of the Hawks winning. It is not something that we get that often. So cherish it now, because it can easily be a different story 6 months, a year from now. Let's get a VCU win. Let's get our way to the A-10 tournament. The dream of getting to the NCAA tournament is not dead. It is a goal we had. It's something that we saw in December, November. It was something on the top of our minds. Don't put that away. Keep that out. It's reasonable to expect it, or at least to hope for it. Hope springs eternal. So With that said, we're going to wrap up the show. Again, appreciate everyone. You know, after the game tomorrow, feel free to write in. Feel free to send in mailbags. Always open. Let's get a win. And, of course, the Hawk will never die.